Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prabhavas. What is the melody? Prabhavastha var abhodha jato. Javanna jigashata atma tatvam. Yavat kriyastavad idang manovai. Karmat makang jena sarira bandha. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery, but this is not a fact. Even though one engages in pious activities and speculation, he is nonetheless defeated. His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya and all material activities. Speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of material life. One should be inquisitive to understand his material position. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yathai Dangshi Shamidognir Bashmashat Kurute Arjuna Gyanagni Sarvakarmani Bashmashat Kurute Tata. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes. O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Unless one understands the self and its activities, one has to be considered in material bondage. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also said, Janye Ravindaksha Vimukta Maninastvayi Ashtabhavad Avisuddha Buddhaya. A person who does not have knowledge of devotional service may think himself liberated, but actually he is not. Such people may approach the impersonal Brahman effulgence, but they fall down again into material enjoyment because they have no knowledge of devotional service. As long as one is interested in karma and jnana, he continues enduring the miseries of material life. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Karmis certainly take on one body after another. As far as jnanis are concerned, unless they are promoted to the topmost understanding, they must return to the material world. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavang mam prabhajante. The point is to know Krishna, Vasudev, as everything and surrender unto him. Karmis do not know this, but a devotee who is 100% engaged in the devotional service of the Lord knows fully what is karma and jnana. Therefore, a pure devotee is no longer interested in karma or gyan. Anya bilasita sunyam. Jnana karma janavritam. The real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and gyan. His only purpose in life is to serve the Lord. So just to bring up from my last class, if anyone can remember, bhakta, remember I talked about bhakta is not a cheap thing. We bhakta, Zeke, bhakta, Dave, Bhaktin, Cindy. We think that this is a lower because we have the natural propensity by material conditioning to create artificial status. We don't see ourselves, unfortunately, as humble servants of the Lord. What is that? Vidya Vinaya Shampane Brahmana Gavi Hastini, the elephant, Suni Chayeva Svapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. We don't see all things and all people, all living entities equally. Because of our material conditioning, we like to create status, ladders. Oh, he is just a bhakta. I am an initiated brahmana. Oh, he's just initiated. I am a sannyasi. Or I am a temple president. Or I am the bhakta leader. Actually, bhakta leader is Krishna. Isn't he? How important. That's a wonderful title. Real titles belong to Krishna, the supreme controller, the supreme bhakta leader, the leader of the bhaktas. All of, well, not them so much, but all of those bhaktas, they're all bhaktas. All these beautiful paintings are all Krishna with his bhaktas, with his devotees. That's very elevated, not beyond elevated. But we're always creating, even in our society, ISKCON society, we create all these levels of status so that we can control and so that we can boast and brag and swagger. You know, swagger around, I am this, I am that. Jivara Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. That's our real identity. I am not a sannyasi. I am not a brahmachari. I am not a human. I am not a bird. I am not of this material world. I am Krishna's eternal servant, and I am totally surrendered to taking any position, any activity that Krishna desires from me. I am not even interested in being pious. Prabhupada says here, generally people think that one should act very piously. Actually, unfortunately, this sentence is no longer applicable. People don't even think they should act piously anymore. Especially people in Bombay, no one's interested. In the West, no one's interested. Very few people. Even to act piously, which means in goodness. Everyone in the Kali Yuga is affected by passion and ignorance. There's very little goodness. There's very little piety. Therefore, we jump our mission. We jump beyond that piety. We go right to helping people And by helping people, they also help us to become bhaktas. I want to be a bhakta. I want to be a devotee of Krishna. Intense desire. If it means for me to be to develop my devotion and to develop being a bhakta to Krishna, that I have to wash the pots, well, I'll do that. Better a humble street sweeper, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, than a big Brahmin averse to you. Real devotees don't swagger. Have you ever seen Radhanath Swami swagger? No. He dances beautifully like a Gandharva. I saw, we did a 1 minute commercial, Yadubara, and you did, right? Eshi. Is it Eshi or Zeke? Eshi. They did a 1 minute commercial that we showed to the committee, Pandal committee. And in that, Radhanath was dancing around. Was that slow motion or does he actually move like that? Huh? It was slow motion. Anyway, it was very beautiful. We don't swagger, we dance. We don't boast, we chant Hare Krishna. And people don't even want to act piously. And Prabhupada says it's not a fact. To be relieved from misery, you don't act piously. If you even have that inclination, that will not relieve you from misery. Understanding who you are, that will relieve you. That will help you to tolerate. Just like when I was chanting, all this mucus in my throat, and I was thinking, while I'm chanting, I'm thinking, geez, I'm like Dhritarashtra. When Vidura came to Dhritarashtra, and he said, you got all mucus in your throat, you're coughing, your teeth are rattling. I had all my teeth fixed. Thank you, Muralidhar, wherever you are. But before that, they were all rattling around in my head. Mucus interfering with your breathing, with your speaking. This is what happens when you get old. Oh, you don't understand. And of course, they say to me, and I love to hear it, but I don't really take it seriously. But I like to hear it because I like to swagger. Oh, you are not old, Maharaj. You are not old, Bhavananda. No, I'm old. If I'm realistic, again, I like to hear it because it fosters my false ego. I'm so wonderful. No. It's not like that. Knowledge. In some places, our society has lost its... what I consider... this is just my opinion. Its true identity as an educational institution. Prabhupada went to the West not to make disciples. He went to the West to educate. To educate the fallen conditioned souls as to their true identity. He was there for years, 2-3 years before he really made disciples. That was a function. That was not the ultimate purpose. But in our status, some people, oh no, if I can just be a sannyasi, oh, if I can just be a guru, I will have achieved the perfection of life. That is not the perfection of life. There are so many gurus. Especially in India, the streets are filled with gurus. That's not the perfection of life. Jivara Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. That's the perfection of life. And that is why Prabhupada went to the West. I was wondering why so many of our preachers, they go to Russia. because I have no experience of Russia, but I was looking at Niranjan Maharaj sent us a disc, and it was all filled with, for the Global Village exhibit, and it was all filled with photographs from Russia, different preaching activities in Russia. Wow. Now I know why they leave America and go to Russia. Because there appears to be great receptivity for the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. In America, people aren't so interested. But there were photographs there. It was like the Naim Sharanya. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of devotees, all focused, all bright-faced. I said, oh, this is why they go. Because people are receptive. Prabhupada told us and wrote once that sometimes the preacher has to have change in order to become inspired. And in preaching, you go where there's receptivity. Prabhupada tried to start ISKCON, or the League of Devotees, in India. There was no receptivity. People really didn't care. In all of my, what appeared to be endless trips to Juhu, 2-3 times a day. So, you, of course, you know, you're looking out the window and you have, you know, little shops, Govinda, Sri Krishna Hotel, you know, all little. In India, people, and so I was thinking that these same names, Govinda, Gopal, Krishna, in the West, when Prabhupada went to America, they had very special meaning. Prabhupada gave Krishna's names very special meaning. Here in India, people just take it very casually. It doesn't have any special meaning to them. Unfortunately, it should have. These are names of God. These are names of God Himself, Bhagavan. But because in India also this Mayavad philosophy, I'm God, you're God, and the dog is God. So there you take everything very casually. But in the West, when we received our spiritual name, oh, that had such a meaning. It was special. And that's why Prabhupada was enthused to preach in the West. Because there was receptivity. Of course, you're getting receptivity here also now, due to Prabhupada's bringing the white elephants back. But when he was just an Indian Swami, which is how people regarded him, they didn't regard him as being very special, even though, of course, he was. He was Krishna's perfect and pure devotee, right from birth. Not even birth, appearance. Chorus, an orchestra. Right from his appearance, he was special. His whole life, he was special. But in India, because you're jaded by what so-called spiritual life, you're jaded because you see Krishna's name everywhere, all different names of Krishna. You see sadhus everywhere. You see gurus walking in the street smoking bidi. Gurus in the tea stall. Not like Prabhupada in the tea stall, selling back to Godhead, but gurus in the tea stall having some tea. Someone was telling me a story again on the way to Juhu. Who was it? They were with some man, and he was sending a a present to his guru. And the present was a bottle of champagne. Well, no, he is a great saint, but he likes a little champagne, he said. A bhakta is such a rare soul. Samahatma Sadurlabha. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. Isn't that here? Bahunam Jamanam. Isn't that right? Vasudeva Sarvamiti Bahunam Jamanam Ante Ganivam Mam Prabhajante. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. I knew I got that line from somewhere. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. So a bhakta is very rare, very special. The real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and gyan. So we should not become like most of the population of India and take these words and these names very casually. Oh, he's just a bhakta. Oh, she's just a bhaktin. Oh, yeah, he's a devotee, but I'm a, you know, he's a brahmachari, I'm a sannyasi. Oh, he's just a sannyasi, I'm a guru. I have achieved the perfection of life because I can be worshipped as good as God. That is the line which has been our undoing. When Prabhupada said the guru is worshipped as good as God, that struck a chord in our conditioning, because that is the very source of our conditioning. That is the very reason that we are in this world, because we want to be considered as good as Krishna. That is like a primeval, primordial thing. I don't know how to describe it, but that is the reason we're here. Every man, every woman, every dog, every ant, every bird, every tree, every living entity, every fish, every insect, every worm is here because we want to be as good as Krishna without any qualification. We want to be Krishna. And what does that mean to be Krishna? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Ooh, we like that. Every moment I want to enjoy, I am so lusty. I'll tell you, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Every blink of my eye, I'm lusting. And I said that to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I said, I'm so, you know, everything I look at, I want to enjoy. And you know what Prabhupada said to me? Oh, that means you will go blind. So I said, oh yes, blind to the material nature, I hope, Prabhupada. He said, no, blind. Literally, blind. So every day I wake up, I open my eyes, I go, oh, thank God. I can see. Because I'm expecting any moment to go blind. Because every moment I want to enjoy, I don't deny it. You know, in the history of our society, when you look back on it now, some of you will understand what I'm saying. To think that in 5 years or 6 years or 7 years from being a devotee, that a certain group of men could be miraculously pure, perfectly pure devotees, it's a little silly. Back then, of course, we, you know, but now when I look back on it, I think, really?
So easy?
Bingo? No. Lifetime after lifetime. But that, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani Janmani. Life after life, I want to, if I am fortunate, I can have devotional service at your lotus feet. Life after life, it will take me to become a perfect bhakta. And that can only be achieved by associating with others who want to be perfect bhaktas. The power of association is so strong. I'll tell you a funny story Prabhupada told me. You know the story about the man and the gulab jamun? This will show you the power of association. The man, Prabhupada said, he was eating gulab jamuns. Next morning, he said in India they pass, in the village they pass stool in the fields. So the man went to the field and he passed stool. And he was looking down at the stool with a look of disgust on his face. And the stool looked back at him and said, "Don't look at me like that. Last night I was the most delectable gulab jamun. But after one night's association with you, look what I've become." Good story. To show the power of association. So if you associate with the karmis or the gyanis or the drunkards, you'll become those things. If you associate with devotees, you will become a devotee. That is why Prabhupada established temples or centers for Krishna consciousness, so that we would have an area where we could associate with each other. That's the whole purpose of this center here, or any center in ISKCON. To give us an opportunity to associate with like-minded men. Of course, some people, like I was saying the other day, there's sometimes in our, that people will consider themselves devotees, but they kind of drift away and lead an independent life, and they become contemptuous of those devotees who are still maintaining the old, what they consider the old style, ISKCON. ISKCON has to move on, they say. ISKCON has to develop this way or that way. And they become contemptuous of those devotees who struggle to get up for Mangal Arati, who attend Mangal Arati, who feel guilty if they don't chant their 16 rounds in one day and struggle very much to make it up the next day, say. Who struggle with the devotional principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting. They struggle with that. They struggle. Oh, they're... That's the old style. That's no longer applicable. It doesn't work. We have to have ISKCON be this way or that way. And they become contemptuous of the program. The program. No, I'll give a class, but I can only give. I'll speak about the three regulative principles. We all know which principle they don't want to talk about. The Hriday Granthi. They don't want to talk about that. I'll talk about intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. But I cannot preach no illicit sex. Why not? What's the problem? You can't preach about no illicit sex. And they don't like to answer that. Anyway, no use. But the old ways are best. What we consider the old ways are best. Why? Because those programs were developed by Srila Prabhupada. It's not that Srila Prabhupada is old-fashioned. That's also a mood in some parts of ISKCON or fringes of ISKCON. Prabhupada was old-fashioned. He was brought up in an old-fashioned schooling, Victorian era. No. Transcendental. Bhakta. Prabhupada was a bhakta. The real bhakta. Prabhupada was a real... I keep my glasses on. I'm so vain. The real bhakta is untouched by any karma or any gyan or anything of this material world. So Prabhupada developed these programs and these centers so that we could become, so that we could rise up to that stage, that being a real bhakta. That's what we want. Important to understand these things. It's important to know the history of the development of ISKCON. So many branches, so many offshoots, you know, it's just like in the development of any... And ISKCON isn't even really a religion. It's not. It's meant as an educational institution to educate people in the science of the soul. Prabhupada said that over and over and over. The science of the soul. It's just like Prabhupada wanted the big Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir. What did he call it? He didn't... The Goswamis, and one of the rules is we do not endeavor for building big, big temples. We don't endeavor so much for that. So what did Prabhupada do? He wants Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir. It's not just for worshiping Radha Madhava. If we want to worship Radha Madhava, the worship's going on very nicely there under the care of Janani Bas and Pankjangri. They have a nice temple. Yeah, it's nice. People come. Then why do we have to spend tens of millions and hundreds of crores or thousands of crores of rupees to build this big temple? Because it's the temple of the Vedic planetarium. And what is its purpose? Its purpose is to defeat the Western scientists. So the temple, we call it a temple, but it has a multi-purpose, multi-use for preaching, not just for worshiping the deity. I don't mean that in an offensive way. Not that worship of the deity is not just, you know, something secondary or minimal. But this big temple is meant for educating people in the science of the soul. Now the mundane scientists are very, very busy. They're very active. They get government sponsorship in preaching to people that you are your body, that you are a combination of chemicals. And if you're suffering depression, or you're suffering trauma, or you're suffering any kind of psychological disorder or physical disorder, all you have to do is adjust the chemicals and you'll be happy. That's what they preach. You are your body. So Prabhupada wants to build the Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir to help people understand you are not your body. In total contradiction to what everyone thinks is true. That's why really governments don't like us. Because the Krishna consciousness movement presents a philosophy which is in total contradiction to every political point of view, every social point of view, everything that the mundaners hold near and dear. We're saying, no, you're wrong. That's why it's a struggle to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. You have to struggle against all those opinions. So we're not just a religion. There's so many religions for people to act piously. Allah Akbar, God is great, Jehovah, all glories to Jehovah. Yeah, there's all some kind of piety. Of course, those are all the desert religions. But they're very prominent today. Desert religions. Islam, Christianity, Judaism. All from the desert. But we have no interest in religion per se. We are interested in educating people on the science of the soul. You are not your body. Imagine. All the medical profession, all the chemical organizations, all the philosophers, Western philosophers especially, or even, who is that philosopher, eat ghee if you have to steal or murder, eat ghee. Huh? God. That's what you all sound like. Charvak Muni. Is it? Charvak? Eat ghee. Take drugs. I read in the newspaper, in my newspaper that you're supposed to bring me every day, and you never do. Oh, there's all panic in Bombay because the chemists have run out of Prozac and all these antidepressants. So there's all over India, people are panicking because they can't get their antidepressants because they're available over the counter. So now they've run out. 118 million, it said 118 million Indian citizens are in total despair because they can't take their antidepressants. And we're preaching the true antidepressant is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. No need for Prozac. No need to go to the chemist. You just open your mouth and chant. No, I can only chant if I take my Prozac. No. People make up so many excuses. So it's very important to understand this, that we're not a because we do not associate ourselves as just another religion. Sometimes I saw ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a branch of the Hindu Vaishnav religion. I saw that somewhere. No. We are not that. I saw that in an ISKCON, somewhere in ISKCON. A branch of the Hindu Vaishnav. We're not Hindus. Or maybe the color of your skin, you can be a Hindu, but I can't be a Hindu. I'm a dancing white elephant, and I don't even dance anymore. But I'll tell you, I wanted to go to preach in the villages. So I went to, in Bengal. So I went to, of course, Prabhupada never wanted me to leave Mayapur. Whenever I left, boom, he'd always send me back. I go all the way to America with good intentions. You know, I'm going to form a party to travel in a van and collect for Mayapur. And I'd go to Los Angeles, you know, go to Chicago, see Prabhupada. Within a day, I'd be back on the plane going back to Mayapur. He'd always send me right back. So I wanted to preach in the villages. Prabhupada said, what you can preach? You don't speak Bengali. To this day, of course, as I told you before, I can't speak any language but English. I'm such a so conditioned to English that I think, like when you're speaking Hindi, say, to each other, I think you're speaking Hindi to him. He's translating it in his brain into English and then again into Hindi to you. That's how I think. I can't speak any other language. I can say I can speak very little Bengali. I'll give you my extent. This is the extent of my Bengali. Chup koro, shut up. Or kata kam kaj besi. Work more, talk less, work more. Or abmi sab sunichi, abmi sab dekichi, abmi sab jani. I hear everything, I see everything. This I'm talking to the workers. I hear everything, I see everything, I know everything. Just work more, talk less. That's it, that's my extent. Or prashad amake dao, give me some prashad. That's it. All those years I spent. So Prabhupada said, what you can preach? You don't speak Bengali. I said, Prabhupada, I said, just by my dancing and chanting with my big white body in the villages, we'll make devotees. Prabhupada said, very good, you may go at once. You always had to explain yourself, give good reason why or how, before Prabhupada would allow you to do something. Yes, very good. I said, just by my white body I'll be preaching. He said, yes. Anyway, I think I've gone on long enough, isn't it? How come no one's cutting vegetables? Aren't you eating today? You usually do it here. Oh, Sunday feast. Okay. And does anyone have any questions or comments? Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Oh, you have a question. Be careful. Be very careful. Be afraid. Be very afraid. See, I was very mellow today, wasn't I? I was not heavy. I don't know what happened to me last week when I just went off the planet. You have to forgive me for that. I don't know what came over me.
You mentioned about a branch of the Gaudiya Vaishnava religion. I think that was basically to, in communication, just to tell the people, I mean, that it has its roots in the Vedic scriptures. I think that
Hinduism, no, we don't associate ourselves with Hindu. We're not Hindus. Prabhupada says that again and again. We're not Jews, we're not Christians, we're not Muslims, we're not Hindus. These are mundane religions. We're not Hindus. And Prabhupada even says, Hindu means those who lived along the Indus River. So when the conquerors came in, the Mughals, they pronounced it Hindus. Those who lived along the... We are Sanatan Dharmists. Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavatam. I have nowhere in the Bhagavatam does Prabhupada say we are Hindus. Does he? But we have to stick to what Prabhupada says. I may think something or that something has to be adjusted in order to make us understood. Prabhupada didn't adjust like that, so why should I? But the natural thing, there's so many ideas now. Everyone's idea, my idea, your idea, everyone has their own idea. Because Prabhupada is not present here with us, so everyone's ideas are becoming prominent, and they may have validity, they may not have validity, but they're relative ideas. That's why I'm saying the old ways are best. The way that Prabhupada has presented Krishna consciousness, the way he has developed ISKCON, the program that he's laid down, that is the best way. And if we stick to that, we will always meet with success, even though it's a struggle. It has to be a struggle. We aren't getting out of this situation so easily. Every moment is a struggle. Right? We're not getting out of this so we are. Well, no, you know, I chant Hare Krishna, I've taken initiation. You know, why is it always such as... Because we are so... such miserable, miserly people. We have to struggle to become pure. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Brahma Sangita, I believe it is, he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead burns up to the roots of your karma in the fire of ordeal. It is not easy to become Krishna conscious, but that very struggle is our salvation. There are lifetime after lifetime of muck, mud, that we've accumulated in our hearts. The only way is ordeal. Physical, mental, but which forces us to take shelter of Krishna. Because as soon as we have it easy, just like in my case, as soon as I had it easy, I succumbed to Maya. It's true. It's never easy. Because we have to learn to be tolerant. I'll give you another example. You know, my room backs right onto that construction site. And man, they were going at it until 1 o'clock this morning. You try to bang, bang, bang on this metal. Bang, bang. Cutting with an electric saw through the metal pipes. Until 1 o'clock this morning. And I woke up this morning and I said, there ought to be a law. That's got to be illegal. This is what I was thinking. That's got to be illegal. So I was down here chanting, and the operator, forget what his name is, came up and he said, oh, you had a call this morning at 4:30. I said, I'm sorry, I wasn't up at 4:30. I didn't get to bed till 1:30. I said, isn't that illegal? So there were some devotees there. They said, yes, it's illegal. But Maharaj said, Radhanath Maharaj, apparently he said, better they work into the night, because the sooner they finish, the sooner they'll be gone. So as soon as I heard that, I said, oh, well, that's a very good point. I'll just tolerate it from now on. I won't get myself all worked up. Because it's a very good point. The sooner, even if they work all night, then they'll be gone sooner. So we just tolerate it. So many difficulties are going to be there. There's no ideal situation. Even you're in Vrindavan, there's so many difficulties. You got the tea stalls and that whole hazarai out there on the road outside of Prabhupada Samadhi. You know, it's pretty nightmarish, pretty awful. You know, Mayapur now, you go through the gate, you know, it's awful on the road there. We just tolerate these things and struggle on pursuing our Krishna consciousness. However, we are not a Hindu religion. And people, as soon as you say Hindu Vaishnav, there's no such thing. Vaishnav means Sanatan Dharmas. Prabhupada says again and again, we are Sanatan Dharmas. Nowhere does he say we're Hindus. At least not to my knowledge. I've read all the books. I have not seen. We do not associate ourselves with Hindus. Even though that may appear to make it easier for people to understand us. That's an easy out, and people will not understand us. We have to struggle to tell people, to try and convince them that we are Sanatan Dharmis, we are an educational organization to teach people the science of the soul. Period. And that is an enormous, that is our preaching mission. We are not trying to tell people to become Hindus. Western people don't want to be Hindus any more than Hindus want to be Christians. No self-respecting Brahmin ever became a Christian. I heard Prabhupada say that. We're not Hindus. Where have you gotten that idea?
What Srila Prabhupada said to Vishwajanaswami regarding the Hari Ramo. Because I think some Prabhus are attached to saying Hari Ramo.
Well, you know, I can't remember that. But, you know, this morning, Trinikarta was just telling me about Prabhupada told Vishnujana when he was chanting Hari Ramo, why you were trying to ruin...
Why are you trying to ruin Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement?
Yeah.
Is what Prabhupada said.
How did you bring that up? He just, you're on the same wavelength there.
Because, you see, you brought up this point. You said, I mean, we're old-fashioned. We're physically old. I mean, my body's 59, your body's older than mine. You know, we're old-fashioned. Well, you're going to live longer than me. You're going to live to be 100. That's clear. No, you're going to...
Carried around in a basket. And that is the karma of a vain man. I'm very vain. I've always been very proud of my beauty.
Oh, yeah,
and karma will be... for me, there is nothing more horrible than looking in the mirror every morning when I'm shaving and seeing how my face is melting. Everything is just... That's a terrible call. For me, to be 100 is a nightmare. To carry me around. Even despite all of Muralidhar Prabhu's good work, I'll still be... Yeah. For me, that's a nightmare. Also, I don't want to live to be 100 because all my godbrothers will be having the association of Prabhupada way ahead of me. Anyway.
Yeah, but Prabhupada has a plan for you.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Prabhupada has a plan for all of us, Mukhanlal. For you also.
But see, your point about being old-fashioned, you know, the problem is what old-fashioned means, because we were trained in the 1960s, that's not like an antique car, you know? We were trained in a particular way. But your devotees are careless. So the problem is it's actually painful to see. That's the problem.
Yes.
It's painful to see. It's painful to see the devotees that don't know Prabhupada's instructions. It's painful to see the devotees. It hurts the heart. It hurts the heart to see that devotees don't really, not concerned about whether they turn the back to the...
And it's even more painful when devotees who knew Prabhupada and were trained by Prabhupada divert. I know exactly what you're saying, and that's why so many of us older folk are so irascible and so testy and so cranky, because, you know, we remember what it was like with Prabhupada.
But it's not just some old sentimental thing.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that old-fashioned is good. Neoconservatism is good. Because our conservatism means what Prabhupada established. And I don't even like, of course, nothing against my godbrothers. I mean, all glories to them that they're producing all these books. I don't even like reading other books except the books by Prabhupada. You know, call me old-fashioned, what can I say? I can't even read. Not that there's anything wrong with those books, but I, of course, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that I consider very, very parampara, the way it's presented and the time that was spent with it, you know, that to present it as Prabhupada presented. I'm not saying that you shouldn't read other books, but same thing. It's painful. Yes, it's painful. And
so what is the solution? What is the solution in terms of when we're dead, when we're all, those of us who were fortunate enough to take direct initiation through the Prabhupada, each and every one of us are going to die very soon.
Well,
so in the meantime, there are so many things that need to be, say, reminders for the newer devotees, reminders of things that were either of concern to Srila Prabhupada or much stronger language in some cases, forbidden.
Well,
for example, these days it's very popular to sing very long Hari Bols, you know.
I never heard Prabhupada chant Hari Bol, sing Hari Bol in a kirtan.
But some, my understanding is
that
some.
Yeah, you mean Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
That's one thing. That's one type. That's one type. But I mean, a Hari Bol kirtan.
Oh, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
20 minutes of Hari Bol.
Hari Bol, Hari. Yeah,
this
well,
is becoming
know.
ISKCON standard. This is
yeah,
painful.
This is
becoming ISKCON standard. Yeah. How will this be rectified? We're going to die. Do we just become the bad guys? We're going
to die.
It'll become ISKCON standard.
I can answer your question. I can answer your question. Do not underestimate the power of Krishna to manifest within the heart of devotees.
Firstly, and
it's not external. It's in, do not underestimate, just like Prabhupada, we were asking Prabhupada at Mayapur, oh, Prabhupada, if there's World War III, if there's an atomic war, what about all the fallout? Prabhupada said, don't underestimate the power of the demigods. He said, with one wind, they can blow all the contamination out into space. So I say, don't underestimate the potency of Krishna in a sincere devotee among the second and third generation to manifest within their hearts to show them how things should be done. While we're here, we should, by our activities and by our example, should be showing how things should be done. By our gentle nature, yeah, especially you and me. Yeah, we have a real problem with that. We're very much alike like this. So therefore, I understand what you're saying.
It's funny because I went back and read a letter to me by Srila Prabhupada because I was discussing this with Radha Swami, you know, that what one of the things that really drives me is a letter from Prabhupada that says that I'll show it to you, or anybody else who wants to see it, where Prabhupada says, I'm depending on you. This was written in 1972. No. Yeah, I think it was, well, I'll check the date. But he said, I'm depending you upon you, plural, my senior disciples, to maintain spiritual standards, to maintain. That's a very big category. Spiritual standards means a lot more than just rising early in the morning in 16 rounds. That's It means the everything, you know, the nectar devotion, everything. You know, at least, as you say, struggling in that direction, or at least being conscious of the direction to go towards, the goals to go towards, the way to get there, etc., even though we're all imperfect, of course. But anyways, the point is, I went back and read the letter again, where because I realized this has been motivating me for years to make that kind of contribution. But then also, the letter said I should have a cool head. And so sometimes, you know, that's the point is to, when I went back and read it just yesterday, I was thinking, oh yes, that cool head part, that's important.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Cool head and warm feet, Prabhupada said, is good health. Good to make decisions. If your feet are warm and your head is cool, or when your head's hot and your feet are cold, then you're sick. Isn't it? So everything he said should be done with a cool head. All decisions should be done with a cool head. Cool brain. Anyway, we're still here. It's not too late. And I have no doubt that Krishna can do that. I was just reading that in the Bhagavatam this morning, how Krishna can do, he's way beyond our understanding. So I have that faith that if things go off, really off, Krishna will manifest in their hearts and give them direction. They can all become pure devotees. It's not that only we can become pure devotees. We had the good fortune to have Prabhupada's association. But, you know, do not underestimate either the power and the potency of the Bhaktivedanta purports. That Prabhupada has left everyone. It's not that only we can become Krishna conscious. They all can become Krishna conscious, and in the future their disciples can become Krishna conscious by understanding fully the purport of the purports. The Bhaktivedanta purports. That Prabhupada has left us. We had the good fortune to have his association also. But he told us again and again, that you know, that everything you need to know, he was angry. He threw down a letter in Calcutta. He got a letter from someone. I think it was 72 or 73. Wanted to know if they could read this book and that book. It was from some books from the Gaudiya Math. Why they always have to read other books? Why they always want to read other books? I have given you everything you need to know in the first, to go back to Godhead, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why they need other books? Just in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I've given you everything you need to know to go back to Godhead. Anyway, everything is here. Everything is here, isn't it? We should have that faith. Everything I need to know, and every time we read the Bhagavatam, because of it's such a transcendental literature, always there's more new realization from the same purport. You can read the same purport every day and you'll get a newer and newer realization. It's amazing. It's astounding. It's transcendental. It's wonderful. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.